Moment in Spain in this century, in about the year 200, Jews came to Spain. Originally, they came to North Africa, and they did business, and then they crossed into Spain. Spain, by then, was a Roman colony. There was a large Jewish community in Rome, and the Jews in Rome did business all over the Roman Empire. All over the Roman Empire. So that we have in the records of the times that at that time Jews came to Spain. Jews must have undoubtedly come to France and Germany as well. But they did not settle there. But they came with the Roman legions, and they were traders, merchants, suppliers. Jews also went then into a business which would remain Jewish for almost a millennia, and that was being chandlers to ships, supplying ships. In fact, when we'll meet it again in the port of Cadiz in Spain in the 900s, till our time, the port of Cadiz was closed on Shabbos, till 1930, till Franco came to power. Because that was their tradition, and that tradition naturally was established by the Jewish chandlers, who on Shabbos would not load the ships, would not sell the supplies to the ships, so therefore they closed the ports. And Jews began to inhabit all areas of the Roman Empire. We have records of Jews being on the Adriatic Sea in Yugoslavia, right across the Adriatic from Italy. Jews spread everywhere, but the vast majority of Jews came to Babylonia. The Jews that remained in Eretz Israel, there still was a strong Jewish community, but it was a Jewish community on the decline, and it would continue to decline. From the death of Rabbeinu HaKodesh onwards, the Jewish community in Eretz Israel declines, and another century, a century and a half, it will almost be gone. And the Jews will have moved to almost exclusively to Babylonia and other areas of the Roman Empire. When Rome falls and the Dark Ages come, then the Jews are only in two places. They're in Egypt and they are in Babylonia, and there's a very small Jewish community in Palestine and Eretz Israel. So this is a turning point in history, and because of the fact that it's a turning point, that's why the Mishnah was necessary. That was the baggage that the Jews took with them. That was their last remembrance of Eretz Israel, and that's how they preserved their customs and their ideals and the halacha. And that's what Rebbe felt in his prophetic eye, seeing the future as to what was going to happen, that the system of just committing the Torah to oral knowledge and to memory would no longer be possible. Would no longer be possible. It had to become a written document. The problem with a written document, as you all know, the basis of anything that's oral and free-flowing always remains loose and creative. The moment you commit something to writing, so you freeze it. The genius here of the Talmud and of the later development after the Talmud is that it never was frozen. And that it was and remains a constantly, so the oral law constantly develops. The Rambam, when he wrote his great work, the Mishnah Torah, said, anybody who has my book doesn't need any other books. So God paid him back that there must be 10,000 books written about the Rambam's Mishnah Torah that you don't need any other books for. And they still are being published at hundreds of books a year. There probably is no book, including the Bible, that has as many commentaries or as many books written about it as the Rambam's book, the Mishnah Torah. But that's part of the process of the living halacha, is that every age and every society creates again, because it is not frozen. And that's really a great blessing. And that was implanted within the Mishnah by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. He's the one that gave it that quality, that flavor, that creativity, that it should not be a frozen book. And that's it. And in fact, we'll see that he used what was called Mishnah Rishona, the early Mishnayos that dated back centuries, yet notes of the Tanoim of the early Mishnah. Many times it's written in the Mishnah, Zuhi Mishnah Rishona. That was the old Mishnah, the first Mishnah. But since then, this is the conclusion. So he used the Mishnah Rishona, and then he used Reb Meir.